Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. By the way, be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file, or just a note if you'd rather, to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. James Dean only made three films before dying in a car crash in September 1955, but they were enough to cast him permanently as the iconic American symbol of teen angst and rebellion. Well, he's in the news again. Plans are moving ahead for a new film about him entitled Life, starring Robert Pattinson from Twilight. Pattinson will play Life magazine photographer Dennis Stock. Dean will be played by Dane DeHaan, who has signed up for the next Spider-Man movie, if you follow these things. If all this sounds like Inside Hollywood, well, it could be you're more interested maybe in the Dean legend itself and the Indiana connection. To learn more about that, we went to Fairmount, where he grew up, and where folks are preparing for the 38th annual James Dean Festival later this month.
My name's David Lohr, and I'm the owner of the James Dean Gallery, the curator of the museum exhibit here. And we opened 25 years ago. This year is our 25-year anniversary. On Thursday, September 26th, the day before the festival starts, we're having a big open house here. And the festival is gearing up to be one of the biggest we've had in many, many years. A lot of cars are pre-registered for the car show. The parade is going to be real big this year. Carnival rides, all kinds of entertainment.
Why is this going to be one of the biggest years?
Well, it just seems to be a lot more interest, and we've gotten a lot more phone calls in the last few years. It's always big. There's always 20,000 people or more here, but for some reason there just seems to be a lot of press attention and a lot of attention to James Dean. And of course, the problem with the high school collapsing just about a week ago got a lot of press, so there's just a lot of James Dean chatter going on lately.
You've been doing this for a long time, and you don't undertake something like this without it really meaning something to you.
Well, I read a biography in 1974, and I didn't know really much about him at all, and I was kind of intrigued by his lifestyle and his career. And then I saw the three films on a big screen for the first time, and just kind of knocked out by his talent and his performances. Started collecting James Dean memorabilia. I was living in California at the time. Came to visit Fairmount in 1979, came back for the festival in 1980, and came back and forth several times. Ended up moving here and opening the James Dean Gallery in 1988.
You know, I'm picking up an East Coast, almost a Maine, or where are you from?
I grew up in Massachusetts, so that's a pretty good call.
What did you do before you became a museum operator?
Well, I've had a few different things. I was a house painter in Beverly Hills, did some pretty nice work for some movie stars and some pretty nice Bel Air estates, and a high-end painter, I'd say. And I dabbled in this and that, sang in a rock band for a little while, and a little bit of minor acting, and always kind of had a feel for the arts.
James Dean would be 82 now, mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
What explains the fascination with him, do you suppose?
Well, there's a lot of aspects. I think he was young and good-looking and died young, which is unfortunate, but we get a lot of young girls that still come in. They're like, oh, my God, James Dean, I love him. And it's like, well, yeah, he'd be 82 now, but, you know. But he was fortunate to have three good movie roles, three great directors, and the three films still hold up strong. You look at a lot of 50, 60-year-old films, and they could be corny and dated and laughable, but his films are still strong, and they hold up, and they're constantly showing on Turner Classics, so people are keep seeing him for the first time. There's always new fans, and it just keeps going and going.
In the world of James Dean memorabilia fandom, what's new?
Well, there's always James Dean in the news. As a matter of fact, just today they announced the name of the actor that's going to portray him in a new film about the story of James Dean and Dennis Stock, who was a photographer who traveled with him and photographed him here in Fairmount and California and New York City. So there's just always James Dean's just always in the press for some reason or other. A new book, a new documentary.
Do you think that is a generational thing? Young guys would look at him and think, I know that's a cool dude.
Oh, yeah. We get a lot of elderly gentlemen now who say, oh, yeah, I was in high school when he died and when Rebel Without a Cause came out, and all the guys were wearing red jackets, and he was a role model. And And we still hear that from young kids today. I mean, all ages. It's just real hard to pinpoint a James Dean fan. You know, there's doctors, lawyers, bikers, punk rockers, you know, ordinary people. It's just amazing that the type of people that are kind of attracted to him or can relate to him in some reason. I mean, you could relate to him as the farm boy, the Indiana farm boy, the New York City bohemian, the Hollywood movie star, the race car driver. There's a lot of aspects to him that different people can identify with.
He was born here at a very young age, moved out to California. His mother dies. He comes back here to live with relatives out on a farm. Mm-hmm. Pick up the story from there.
Well, when his mom died, he came back here and grew up on a farm with his cousins, and his aunt and uncle took him in. His father wasn't able to raise him. He felt he couldn't really do a good job at that time because he had a full-time job, and he stayed in touch with his dad all throughout the years. So he stayed here in Fairmount, went all through high school. He was on a lot of the sports teams and the debate club and, of course, in school plays. And he just really had a feel for acting. And his high school drama teacher, Adeline Nall, kind of pushed him along a little bit. And as soon as he got out of high school, he was on a bus and headed to California. So he was going to give it a try. 18 years old. Pretty gutsy that must have been a heck of a bus ride in 1949. No air conditioning, seats didn't recline, stopped in every city along the way, every town, no interstates, but he was determined, he was going to do it, he was going to give it a try, and he gave it his best shot. Didn't really do too good in California at first. He took some acting classes from James Whitmore, and he said, if you want to get serious, go to New York. So he did it, and he went to New York, and that's where he really got started. He did about 40 live television dramas when TV was brand new. And then two Broadway plays, and that's where he was spotted on Broadway. Flown back to California, and boom, East of Eden, Rebel Without a Cause, and Giant, all within 16 months, and then tragically killed in a car wreck. So it was all moving pretty quick for him. He was really, well, he went right to the top.
That's David Lohr, James Dean archivist and owner of the James Dean Memorial Gallery in the actor's hometown of Fairmount, about 30 miles northwest of Muncie. Their website is jamesdeangallery.com. The 38th annual James Dean Festival is September 27th through the 29th. More information at the Fairmount Historical Museum, jamesdeanartifacts.com, or just go to the Indiana Weekend page on Facebook and we'll hook you up. Just ahead, the Rebel Without a Cause, who was maybe more complicated than many people realized.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
David Lohr has been a James Dean memorabilia collector since 1974. By 1988, he had actually moved to Dean's hometown of Fairmount, Indiana, now in a restored Victorian home on the city's tree-lined Main Street. He operates the James Dean Gallery, sort of a museum, shrine, and gift shop, where they're getting ready for the annual James Dean Festival, September 27th through the 29th. What's it all about? Why the fascination? I talked to Lohr in his gallery, a few feet from the giant movie posters, near the Dean t-shirts, across the room from a piece of the set used in one movie. I asked the same question you would probably ask. Who was Dean?
Well, I mean, he was complicated. He was very well read. He was a musician. He played piano and violin as a child, and then in later years he played bongos and got into the bohemian type thing. But he was interested in poetry and art. He did a few oil paintings and several drawings, but he was very dedicated to his work. Acting was the main love. That's what he really liked.
Fair to say he would have been one of the first sort of the bad boy image kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The leather jacket, cigarette hanging from the mouth, leaning up against a motorcycle, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, Marlon Brando was before him in The Wild One, but he was a little rawer. Dean's a little more sensitive, and, he could show his vulnerability and his different sides. He wasn't just a tough guy like Brando. And it's interesting because The Wild One showed Brando in blue jeans, but it was a black and white film. So Rebel Without a Cause was like the first movie to actually show teenagers in blue jeans, and the iconic image of him in the red jacket, the white t-shirt, and the blue jeans is still strong today. I mean, it's just an iconic image of the 50s.
What's it been like for you to move to Fairmount? You're from the East Coast,
yeah.
Worked in California, you're in this small town. What's that like?
Well, it wasn't overnight. I was living in New York City, actually, when I moved here. And so it was, you know, back and forth. It was a 14-hour drive, so I'd do it quite often or get the train back and forth. And so it wasn't just boom from big city to small town. But because of what I'm doing, it's interesting. And it's a whole international aspect. It's not like sitting in a little Indiana town working at a gas station. You know, there's people come in from all over the world.
They really do, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people come here. Does that surprise you that, I mean, you'll get folks from Europe and Asia?
Yeah,
and
it doesn't surprise me anymore. I mean, we get a lot of Europeans all the time and Japanese almost every week. This summer, for the first time, we're seeing a lot of Middle East. This summer, we've had people from Israel and Pakistan and a woman from Lebanon who said, you know, she's been waiting all her life to come here. And a lady from Israel, elderly lady, that she's been wanting to come here for years. And it's just, you know, there's a fellow here from Moscow, from Russia this summer. And they make the trip. They fly into Chicago. A lot of them are heading to Memphis to go see Elvis. And this is a direct stop. It's like right on the way. So it's kind of a natural thing, you know, on the way from Chicago to Memphis, they stop here. And I always think it's so great because these international travelers, I'll say, where are you going? They'll be, say, oh, New York, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Miami, Fairmount, Chicago. And so it's interesting that this little Indiana town fits in with all those, their travel plans, because they're seeing an American hometown. You know, it's a little Norman Rockwell town, and they're seeing what America is like. The cities are so internationalized. It's just neat that they find their way here and they see this little town.
If somebody had not been here, if your friends from Massachusetts were asking you, what's Fairmount like?
Well, first of all, I'd say it's pretty flat because in Massachusetts there's a lot of hills and valleys and lakes and streams, but it's pretty much all flat cornfields here. But it's the weather's similar. It's about the same, the winters and summers. It's just a little slower pace. You know,
this is a small town. This is
yeah, and it's, you know, we're an hour from Indianapolis, so it's, you know, the East Coast is, it's all big cities surrounding you everywhere. So I love it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a nice pace of life, and it just stays interesting. And
fair to say, in some ways, it maybe hasn't changed all that much.
It really hasn't changed a lot. And that's one of the good things about it. People come here and they see the pictures of James Dean on his trip here when he was with Dennis Stock, the photographer, and the pictures of him walking uptown or out at the farm. And those images really haven't changed much at all. You know, the town hasn't changed. So we're real fortunate that he came here with Dennis Stock to document that, because otherwise there's not a lot of real pictures of him other than childhood shots. So those are like the real iconic shots to show him in town. And the fans come here and they want to pose in the same spots, you know, in front of the bank or out at the farm. And so it's really neat. It like you said, it hasn't changed much at all.
I can imagine one of the top questions from the fans has to be, was the James Dean that we saw on film, was that who he was?
Well, people that knew him and his teacher, Adeline Nall, who's gone now, but she was a dear friend, and she said in his first film, East of Eden, and other people have told me this too, that he wasn't even acting. They said that was just him. They couldn't even see him acting. He walked through that role as if it was his everyday life. I mean, in Rebel Without a Cause and Giant, he portrayed more of a character, and the acting showed a little more, but he was just a natural. You know, he just got in front of the camera and did it.
David Lohr, owner of the James Dean Gallery in the actor's hometown of Fairmount, Indiana, where they're getting ready for the James Dean Festival at the end of the month. Festival details and all the links you need for the gallery, the festival, and the Fairmount Historical Museum at our Facebook page.
Well, I'm Gail Hickety. I'm president of the Fairmount Historical Museum. The James Dean Festival is September 27th, 28th, and 29th.
And around here you call him Jim?
Yeah, call him Jim, yeah.
James Dean in Hollywood or what have you,
yeah.
But back home,
it was just Jim. Funny story about him. Used to, businesses put out things for the holidays, and you put your name in there, and then you got the free gift. Well, he conned all of his buddies into putting his name in, and he won the train. So, I mean, it just things like that. He was, and on the farm, they tell me that he would do anything on the farm, you know, load hay or unload hay or whatever. But he was always the one riding the tractor. He'd talk somebody out of doing something, you know, and it was sort of like Huckleberry, you know, yeah, painting a white fence.
Right, Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
So he's a charismatic kind of guy.
He was, right. Yeah, I think he was, yeah.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
September 30th is the anniversary of the death of James Dean in a car crash in 1955. He was speeding on a California highway about 80 miles southwest of Fresno when another car turned in front of Dean's Porsche and caused the crash. For 38 years, Dean's hometown of Fairmount has held the James Dean Festival. The town's top authority on James Dean stories and collectibles is David Lohr, who runs the James Dean Gallery on Main Street. He says it's fair to say Dean was pretty normal growing up.
Took part in all the activities, theater, drama, ball teams, the debate club. So he was just an average kid around town. You know, there's still a lot of his classmates around that still remember him, and a couple of them still riding motorcycles up and down the street. So,
what do people say about him? They call him Jim.
Yeah. In elementary school, he was Jimmy, and then in high school, he was Jim. He got to California, became James. But people that remember him just say he was just a regular guy. I mean, sometimes they say they don't understand what all the hubbub is, you know. But basically, everybody that knew him appreciated his friendship and his talent. They could see he had some talent.
You've done some acting.
Yeah, a little bit. Nothing serious, but
enough to be in IMDb, would you say?
I'm not sure if I'm on there or not. I may be. I'd have to look.
But you did enough of it to think about it, right? To think about technique and everything.
Yeah.
What does an actor see in the acting of James Dean?
He's inspired so many actors. We get a lot of actors and entertainers and rock groups that stop here and they feel like, you know, maybe something will rub off on them, and they're just inspired by him, and they kind of walk around here slouched around and kind of putting on that James Dean attitude. And you can always say, you know, I say, are you an actor? You know, you can kind of pick it out. But we get a lot of celebrities too that come into town. They're just, Meatloaf and his band stopped one day, they're on tour. And Bob Dylan came to town late one night. He was on tour, played in Indianapolis, heading to Detroit, and he stopped here in Fairmount and wandered around uptown, went into the local bar, walked up to the high school, and apparently he went out to the cemetery and sat there and sang Blowing in the Wind with his band members, and they just kind of sat there. And then he went out to the farm and visited with the family. It was pretty late at night, walked around the farm, so that was pretty amazing. Young singer Morrissey, he had a band called The Smiths. He came here and filmed a video, actually, for one of his songs. There's a popular young girl band, Girl in a Coma. They've been here several times. They're doing real well, getting very popular.
Why have they been here several times?
They're James Dean fans. They're on tour, and they just stopped the first time when they were kind of unknown band. And then a couple years later, they stopped again, and they're starting to get more popular. And now they're getting to be a pretty popular band.
Rufus, so this is really a stop for a James Dean fan, for somebody who's even moderately, seriously a James Dean fan.
Oh, yeah.
You have to come here.
This is the place to go. I mean, you can go to Hollywood and you can see where he made some of the films, and some of the locations are still there. But, and New York, I used to do actually a walking tour of James Dean sites in New York, like a 6-hour walking tour. I'd have 100 people following me through the city of all James Dean locations. But the serious fans, I mean, Fairmount's the Mecca. I mean, this is where they want to come to see where he grew up and where he's buried. And because the town looks and feels the same, it really feels good. You know, it's like going back in time.
You're more than just a fan. I mean, you're like a curator.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, it was just an interest, and I was a collector, and I started collecting things. And before I knew it, I had a whole box full of stuff, and now I've got a big house full of stuff and James Dean. But I've worked on several books and documentaries and have pretty much become known as, you know, the James Dean guy.
When you talk with other James Dean authorities, what comes up? What do you talk about? Is everything known, or are we still learning things about him?
There's always new facts and interesting items popping up about James Dean. You'd think that everything would be known by now, but every few years there's a new book, and authors find some new people that have never been talked to before, and they find some new information, some new stories. It's amazing there's always new photos of him turning up. Almost every week I'm seeing new photos, you know, after almost 60 years, that I've never seen before. He was just very photogenic, and he had There were six major photographers that photographed him, and he pretty much always had a photographer pretty close by him.
What have you learned in recent years?
Well, there's a new book by a friend of his named Lou Bracker. They were pretty close friends towards the end of James Dean's life, I think like the last 6 months or so, and he just came out with a new book that's all of his recollections. So I learned a lot from that, and those were real personal things. He was also a race car driver, so he knew the James Dean, the race car driver. You know, as new books come out, or if, you know, an old friend decides to finally talk about, you know, their friendship, then a lot of new information comes out. Dizzy Sheridan, who he lived with in New York, she was the mother on Seinfeld, Liz Sheridan. She never talked about James Dean for years and years and years. She wouldn't say anything because she didn't want to feel like she was pushing her career along based on being his friend. So when she finally made her own fame, she started talking and she wrote a book. And that had a lot of new information too. So, and she's been out here. Very, very nice lady.
What's your favorite of the three movies?
I'd have to say East of Eden. I mean, I like all three, of course. And all three are different, or really good in different ways. But East of Eden, I think maybe because it was the first one I saw, and it was just struck a chord with me, and the realism that he put into it, and like I mentioned, the people that knew him said it, and it was just him.
Jacks his back, flexes, thoughts for the moment, scratches his head and does his best James Dean. Well, then there, Diane gotta run off to city. Diane says, baby, you ain't missing nothing. Jack say, oh yeah.
David Lohr, owner of the James Dean Gallery in Fairmount, where folks are getting ready for the annual James Dean Festival at the end of the month. We'll have the details on our Facebook page, along with photos from our visit with Lohr. If you make it to Fairmount, along with the gallery, you'll probably want to stop at the Fairmount Historical Museum, where they have Dean's motorcycles, tons of photos, and other items. Our friend Gail Hickety is glad to show you around. And those movies? East of Eden made him a star in 1955. After he was killed, Rebel Without a Cause was released, creating a sensation among young viewers, and Giant was released the next year. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.